time now to talk about the future, as we do every single week. Morris Misolowski joins us. He's a business futurist. Morris, good afternoon to you.
And a good afternoon to you too, Jason.
Now, we're down at the Perth Royal Show this afternoon and having a particularly good time. There's lots of amazing things happening. But what I'm not seeing down here at the moment, Morris, is a lot in the way of computing power.
No.
Well, it's mainly to do with farm animals and farm equipment and show bags and all of that kind of thing. But whenever I have you on the show, I don't want to talk about that kind of thing. I want to talk technology.
Yeah. So we've got an interesting topic this week. I think we've got an interesting topic every week. But it's kind of technology, but kind of not. It's more about the human being.
Uh-huh.
I've read over the last couple of months, there seems to be a big interest in how our brain works. And like always, there's a spate of new releases, scientists, universities, and all kinds of people coming out with some really interesting insights into how our brains work and what we might be able to do with that knowledge into tomorrow.
So, can I ask the really controversial question straight up? Do you reckon there's a difference between male and female brains?
I'm looking for the most politically correct answer for that one.
I thought I'd try and put you on the spot. I can tell you there is a little bit of a difference as far as I'm concerned, because for me, my life basically revolves around food and sleep, whereas for my wife, you know, she's much more generous and cares about what other people think.
Well, that's true, but that's the function of the brain. Technically, there is a difference between male and female brains.
There is.
But we'll leave it at that. I mean, I was given one of the more inferior ones, so I'm happy to make do with what I have.
So being that, you know, you and I being men and relatively simple brains, is it possible these days to be able to see or to work out what a person is thinking?
I don't know if it's possible these days to do it, but if we talk in 5 or 10 years, the answer may well be yes.
Really?
There was a really interesting piece that's been done over the last few months, which at the University of California in Berkeley. What they've done is, using brain scans, is they've been able to peer inside people's brains and at the end of a very long, elongated process, actually take pictures out of the brain.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
I could get in trouble.
Well, we all could. So what they did was they showed a group of people some movies and then took some very sophisticated, what are called fMRI scans, which are those big, you know, scans that we're used to seeing people going into, the tunnel ones.
Oh, yeah.
On steroids, basically. You know, the really big, grand version of that. They put them into that, and they monitored their brains as they were watching this movie. They then took them out. They did some more testing on them, put them back in, showed them another movie. At the end of all of that, the computers were able to look inside the brains of each of these individuals and to take very rudimentary pictures of the images that they were seeing in the movie.
Well, you say rudimentary pictures. I say rude pictures.
Well, that may be because of what you're thinking. But in this case, it was all very clean and above board.
Okay.
In fact, one of them was the Pink Panther movie.
Okay.
So if you want to see, I've put a clip up at my blog, which is a 29-second clip of what the scientists were able to see.
Oh,
so they show you the actual clip. So this is the one that we were able to see, and then they show you the clip as it was seen inside these people's minds.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's quite incredible. Now, the pictures, of course, aren't crisp. You know, they're not HD, they're not 3D, they're not any of that. And some of them you have to use your imagination to say that this one is actually this one. But what's fascinating is the fact that they, even in the barest format, look somewhat like what we might see with our eyes. So given that they're able to do that today and the technology is just beginning to make sense, imagine what we will be able to do in 10, 15, 20 years with that sort of knowledge.
Amazing and scary.
It's scary, but if we take it to its nice possibility, you know, we start to talk about being able to look inside people's minds that maybe have Alzheimer's or one of those degenerative diseases, people whose thought processes may be disappearing for all kinds of medical reasons. And we're talking about the possibility of going in and trapping memories or trapping thoughts so that they can be used or maybe reimplanted at a later time back into that person.
I guess we could also use it at airports to actually make sure that people are not planning on doing naughty things.
Well, I suppose we could. You're absolutely right. So given, you know, given 20, 30 years or whenever this thing rolls itself out, we'll certainly be able to do that. I mean, that Minority Report, now that movie.
Oh, yes, pre-crime.
All of a sudden becomes history, doesn't it?
Yeah, wow. All right, so, Morris, we're looking here into the brain, but what about doing it the other way around? What if I just want to use my brain to make things happen, now telepathically?
Yeah, now we've been, well, not so much telepathically, but we've been doing that for a little while, but we're getting much, much better at it. It's been used in, of all things, the gaming industry for the last 2 or 3 years. There's been headsets that you can buy, and they're relatively cheap, you know, $290, and they sell on the commercial market. Mm. You put this headset on, and you can think your way around the game.
Oh.
So just by moving your brainwaves, thinking left, thinking right, thinking up, thinking down, changing your emotions, what we would be used to calling a mouse, but it's not. The mouse moves around, and the car moves and does all kinds of things.
But that's available now.
Yeah, it's called EPOC, E-P-O-C. It's actually an Australian invention out of Sydney and sold. But we're going really much further than that. There's also been the similar things attached to wheelchairs, again, for paralyzed, paralympic, for those types of people that aren't able to move their limbs, unfortunately. So they're able to use their mind to power up the vehicle and make it move in all sorts of directions. They're able to do that for keyboards. So they're able to think of a letter or to think of emotion or something and make a very simple keyboard on their wheelchair move or do or type or do something. So we're seeing much more work along that line.
Well, and I'm guessing then if you can put it on a wheelchair, then that's a technology that could really be extrapolated out and actually put into cars.
Well, it absolutely can. So that piece that we've talked about has been around for a little while, as I said, but there's a lot more work done on it in the last couple of months. Coming out of Princeton University, and they're able now to make your emotions and your very pure social thoughts as part of that mechanism. Now, taking it into cars, you're absolutely right. Nissan, over the last week, has announced that they've teamed up with something I can't pronounce. I mean, it's École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne in Switzerland. Anyway, they've teamed up with them to come up with what they're calling a brain-machine interface, or, of course, a BMI. And what they're doing with this is they're looking at blending the driver's mind in the nicest sense possible. So at this stage, it's again wearing one of those funny little helmets that we talked about, putting that on, and that being able to do some of the things we talked about previously. So being able to look into your mind, being able to tell your state of calmness. So if you're, you know, if you're in road rage, for instance, it would do very different things to the car. If you're, you know, if you're pleasant and everything's going well, then it would react differently. But also what it's trying to do is to predict what your responses might be to what's coming ahead.
I see.
So, for instance, if there's a truck or there's some sort of obstacle in front of you, it's trying to look into your mind to predict what it is that you're likely to do, and in a split second, marry that with the road conditions, the car conditions, and figure out what the best response is to save you from that situation, and then to put that best response into play. So, in fact, it might override what you might want to do. The emotional aspect of what we do, in fact, might be the wrong thing to do.
Well, I was just going to say, because very often when I'm driving and someone cuts me off, I'm thinking, I'm going to get that guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's only in my head. I'm not actually going to act it out. But if this system can read my mind and then it thinks, all right, well, let's slam into that other driver, that's not a good thing.
No, it isn't. But also, that's a good example as well. But often when we're put in a situation, we often might want to swerve or move the steering wheel in a particular direction, which, in fact, could be the wrong thing to do. So in this case, what it's going to do is over-adjust and put us back into the right mechanism.
Yes.
Now, Ford and a whole lot of other car companies have been talking about these sorts of things for years. They've talked about trying to make cars that are more predictive of the driver and to change the atmosphere within the car for the driver as well. Ford talked about, and they're most probably going to do it in the next little while, of changing the internals of a car according to your mood. So if you are drowsy on a road, then it recognizes that you're drowsy and it lights up the car, lights up the board, puts music on that'll keep you awake, changes the air conditioning and heating accordingly.
See, I've already got that already. My wife does that for me.
Uh-huh. Now, that's good automation.
It's great, isn't it? Morris, we're absolutely out of time, I'm sorry to say, because I always thoroughly enjoy chatting with you. Not only have a website for your conference speaking and consulting services, but you also have a blog.
I do, and that video, which is most interesting, 29 seconds is at the blog, and that's businessfuturist.me. And the website is businessfuturist.com.
Excellent. Morris, so good talking to you. Will you join us again next week?
I look forward to it.
Fantastic. See you then. Morris Misolowski there, business futurist. Check out his website, businessfuturist.com, or his blog, businessfuturist.me.